If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, and you're whatever fucking shows it, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
Hello, and welcome back to Atomic Radio Hour, the show that dives into the wreckage that is post-apocalyptia. I'm Vince, and I'm also here with my co-host,
your nuclear physicist, Declan.
So, we're trying something new out this week. I'm at home.
And I'm like 400 miles away.
So, we're not recording in the same room this time. So, if things get a little fucky, my bad?
Yeah, that's why. Synchronizing audio is going to be a fun chore.
At least for like the first like week, maybe three. But yeah. Once we get it, we've got it.
Once we get our process back, it's going to be quality radio programming.
So, Declan, how have you been this whole move up to New York and everything?
I've been good. I've been doing orientation. I moved in early, and I'm exhausted because I'm working like 14-hour days to get ready for the new students.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, like, actually, move-in day is tomorrow, so that's going to be absolutely exhausting and amazing.
Is it just a bunch of children running around with no idea what they're doing?
It's actually a bunch of ignorant adults running around not knowing what they're doing, which is arguably worse.
Just because you're 18 doesn't mean you're an adult.
Yeah.
So, Declan, I didn't prepare any lore. So, what part of lore would you like to talk about?
You see, I've always been really interested in the different things that you find around the wasteland. Because often, it's not the way it should be. Things are broken and reused, reduce, reuse, recycle, even in the wasteland. Thinking about where all that came from and what this shining atomic world used to be.
Did I hear you say General Atomics? Because that's exactly what I have written down. So, General Atomics, a company most known for their Mr. Handy and Mr. Gutsy and RoboBrain models, they also made Liberty Prime. The former CEO is Veronica Lee. Now, their Mr. Handy, which was with a partnership with Robco, was a housekeeping and defense robot that came equipped with a buzzsaw and a flamethrower and spoke in a delightful British accent. Mr. Gutsy, which was a modified Type 2 Mr. Handy that was modified heavily so it had better armor, a plasma weapon, a flamethrower, and I believe a buzzsaw as well. There's also the RoboBrain, a militarized robot. Real organic brains were used as processors. It had laser weapons and sonic projection rays. Human enough finger pincer things?
Oh, yeah, I remember those.
Claws things? Yeah, and within those claws were submachine guns. And Miss Nanny Bots,
what are Miss Nannies?
Which are pretty much just Mr. Handies. They show up in
Far
Harbor. Yeah, I don't remember them either. When I was on the wiki researching all of their robots, I saw it, and I was like, I don't remember this. But the only place that I saw them showing up was in Fallout 4. But they're pretty much Mr. Handies, but with French accents.
Aw, that's kind of cute.
Liberty Prime, another partnership with Robco, is a 40-foot-tall, absolute monster of an idea, which I can only assume was the love child, the idea, like the brainchild idea of the mixture of Optimus Prime and the Iron Giant when they were developing it.
Yeah, I could see that. I can definitely see that.
But I want to know the conversation that happened.
Like, you're in a boardroom, and it's just like, yeah, we want to make this huge investment for the country. It's going to be amazing military defense technology. Oh, yeah, what is it? Like a new gun or something? It's a giant robot.
That sole purpose is to kill
the communists.
Communist Chinese.
Yeah.
No, but like, I'm not even saying
killing, nuke flinging,
laser eye having,
online yelling robot.
But not even like within the universe of Fallout, like, how did that conversation happen where it's like, oh, let's build a giant fucking robot? But like, when they were at Bethesda and it was like, all right, so the end of the game, what are we gonna do?
It needs to be big. Giant. Be explosive. That's two things on the list we're getting with Optimus Prime.
I want to know what the conversation was leading up to a giant robot that looks like, I think it might be the robot from The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but I remember reading somewhere that that was based on that. Huh. That Liberty Prime was the model of Liberty Prime was based on the robot from the day the Earth stood still.
That makes sense.
But Liberty Prime, 40-foot robot, powerful eye lasers, and throws nuclear bombs like a fucking football.
Of course. That's the most American thing you can do.
Yeah. He was originally going to be used to liberate Anchorage and spout out patriotic propaganda.
I mean,
his combat sensors actually didn't work pre-war. They never got them fully online. They wanted to send him to Anchorage, but all he could really do was step on people.
Well, that doesn't make him as useful as he could have been.
It's scary, but not as useful.
Yeah. Like, of course the people are going to turn tail and run when they see a giant fucking American robot that shouts about capitalism and freedom. That shit's...
You would run from that? I'd embrace it.
Well, I'd embrace it if it were on my side, of course.
I'd embrace it if I was on the other side.
I was like, yeah, I can get behind that.
Yeah. If a giant robot came after me, whether it had weapons or not...
It's like, yeah, I'm rooting for that guy.
That's the dude who's going to win. Yeah. Like... So, the Brotherhood of Steel in D.C. found him in the basement of the Pentagon like 200 years later, and Dr. Lee is attributed as the scientist that helped the most, or maybe even solely, got him completely online. Used effortlessly to take over Project Purity. 2 weeks later, once Lone Wanderer had woken up from the coma that he put himself into trying to get Project Purity back online, the Brotherhood of Steel took a troop of paladins out and... Liberty Prime, and they started to attack one of their bases, one of the Enclave's bases. And the Enclave just totally fucks up Liberty Prime like a bunch of dicks.
See, I can't get behind that.
No, I'm not a fan. They use this orbital warhead bombardment via satellite. Totally, just, can we get a moment of silence for dead Liberty Prime? Yes. So, the Enclave, like I said before, like a bunch of dicks, totally takes out Liberty Prime, and the Brotherhood just kind of gets what they can of him back and together, and they take all the salvage, and when they make their mass exodus to, or maybe not mass exodus, but when a large number of them move to the Boston area, they take what they can with
them. I would
say
it's more of a pilgrimage than an exodus.
Yeah, exodus wasn't the best word for it, but...
Because they brought what they could, and of course they have all the know-how. They just need the supply and the physical hands to be able to put it together.
Yes.
The delicate touch of a robotic engineer.
Took about 10, like I said, about 10 years to rebuild. Even if they were building stuff, they couldn't get everything online. Now, General Atomics International is the full name. I don't know if I've said that earlier. It's General Atomics International. General Atomics International. But most people just refer to it as General Atomics. Also created the AER-9 laser rifle.
Which, like, snaps for that. Like, the laser rifle... is, like, one of the coolest and, like, most awesome weapons in the Fallout universe. One of the most distinctive.
The AER-9 laser rifle is actually not the state-of-the-art weapon at the time of the Great War. The one that was actually better was the AER-12. Much, much better. But the 9 was sturdier and more reliable.
Which, like, we can get behind that.
Yeah, I think it shows if they're still working 200-plus years later.
Oh, absolutely. So... does General Atomics cover any of the unique laser weapons? Like, did they make those?
Kind of?
Or are those, like, homebrews from, like, people's basements? Like, my favorite laser weapon of, like, any game is in New Vegas. It's in Big Mountain. It's the LAER.
Yeah. It is. I've never played Big Mountain. How does that one?
It is just, it's so goddamn good. The LAER, it's, like, one of the most powerful laser rifles, if I'm not
mistaken.
Is that
one green?
I don't think it's green. It looks like, like a really like old like 50s sci-fi space type weapon with like big coils and stuff on it, but it's a laser weapon.
No, I'm asking like, is the laser itself?
I don't recall if that is the case.
The LAER?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's so cool.
Oh, it looks like the recharger rifle.
It does. It looks like a recharger rifle.
That's neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's such a good and like fun weapon to use.
Yeah, it looks just like the recharger rifle. What does LAER stand for?
I used to know. Hold on, let me look it up. I think it's
laser, assisted
electrical rifle.
Cool.
It's a prototype of, it should have been a prototype of the laser rifle.
The LAER.
Yeah.
It's like when you got a doofy friend named Larry. Hey, Lair.
Hey, Lair. How you doing?
I met a guy fucking... No, what was his name? No, I met this guy recently. His name was Jeff.
Yeah.
But everybody called him Larry.
Like Larry, and Mo, and his... Jeff? Where's Mo?
No, no, no. Just like they called him Jeff... Or his name was Jeff, but they called him Larry because he just walked around like a big doof. Like, and nothing against people whose names are fucking Larry.
Or Jeff, but, like, for that matter.
Yeah, but like he was just like he, you could tell that he was just like, not that there's anything wrong with being like a fat guy, I'm a big person myself, but like he was just too big. You know when like someone like cultivates mass in like a certain area of their body?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Like he just looked, and he was like hunched over and just kind of like, you tell him something and he had the weakest handshake.
Oh.
Like the absolute, and that's the like the biggest fucking turn off for me. If I go to shake somebody's hand
and it's a limp and noodle. It's like, no.
Yeah, it's just a fucking limp noodle. It's like, you're not even remotely close to being an adult.
Yeah.
Like, you can't put a little fucking force behind that? Like, I don't know, that shit makes me laugh every time. Like, every time I shake somebody's hand, and it's like...
When I try to shake people's hands, I go in like MC Ride, death grip.
Just fucking, yeah. I want the circulation of my hand to be cut off.
Yeah.
That's the only way your merit as a man is shown.
Yeah. Basically.
So, in production was a far superior rifle, the AER-14. The only known working prototype is found in Vault 22.
Really?
Now, this I took directly from the wiki that kind of gives you a description of the AER-9.
Yeah.
And it's paraphrased a little bit, but it says, titanium housed crystal array, which provided to withstand long years of exposure to the elements. As a result, the crystal arrays stayed focused with operating parameters rather than falling completely out of focus like newer models. And they use microfusion cells as ammo. And General Atomics' number one most important thing that they've ever contributed to the world pre-war is the washing machine.
Really?
Yeah. On the wiki page, I just kind of clicked on General Atomics. General Atomics Anonymous International. And it said the washing machine. So I was like, that's neat.
Yeah, that's cool.
I kind of want to replay Fallout 4 just to go to the washing machine in that little room and just see...
see the logo on it.
Yeah, just to see if it's there.
That's,
I mean, I know it's there.
Of
but,
course, yeah. Yeah. That's really cool.
So, yeah, and that's the lore for this week.
Yeah, good.
So what's new, man? What are you listening to lately?
What am I listening to?
Yeah.
Are you referring to the last song that I listened to on my phone, or just in general?
No, just in general.
You know, I always can get behind some lo-fi hip-hop beats to chill or study to.
Do you have any favorites?
There's one called...
Like, any artists?
I don't remember the artist, but there's the name of a song called Wildflower. It's real good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I go through, like, a lo-fi phase.
Yeah.
And W is really fucking great.
I'm unfamiliar.
It's like bracket, like Adult Swim bracket, W bracket.
Hmm.
Fucking crazy. Like, it's shit that, like, I hear it, and I'm like, this makes me think about lo-fi differently. Because, and I haven't listened to it in a while, but the stuff that I do remember from a little while ago was, it was lo-fi, obviously, but they would take the vocals of, like, popular, like, there's a Post Malone song, and I can't stand Post Malone, but... He made the song enjoyable, so I mean, there's some fucking talent and some merit.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So, beyond music of the modern age,
yeah.
Do you want to talk about some music of a past age?
Sure. What do you have in mind?
I'm not sure if we've talked about it on the show in the past. What are your, like, top five songs that are of the Fallout era or included in a Fallout game?
Fucking okay.
Well, I'll give you, like, a Jeopardy's amount of time to figure it out.
Butcher Pete?
Yeah. That's a good one.
Fucking, Rocket 69? Because I don't know anybody who fucking... takes 15 minutes to finish.
Yeah, you got me there.
I mean, and it's not even like, all right, 15 minutes, like 15 minutes of foreplay, 15 minutes of the actual act, and then 15 minutes just straight fucking like, just you gotta have a lot of fucking time on your hands. Normally I'm just like, and I'm asleep. Fucking Rocket 60, Butcher Pete, Rocket 69, Orange Colored Sky. Fuck you if you don't agree with that.
Oh, so good. I can't believe it didn't make it into New Vegas just by, like, accident.
Yeah, that's a heartbreak, because I didn't even know that. You told me that. You told me that, like, a year ago. And I was like, shut the fuck up. That's a great song. They didn't have it in there. I thought it was new for Fallout 4. I didn't know that it was, that it was supposed to be in New Vegas. Big Iron?
Big Iron's, like, one of my top five. I love Big Iron. It tells
Let's
a story.
Let's go Sunnin'. Yeah. Let's go fucking Sunnin'.
Let's go Sunnin' is in my top
five. So good for
you.
Oh
my god.
What's your five?
My five, I've got Boogeyman, Big Iron, Bongo Bongo Bongo. I don't want to
fuck, I forgot about that one. Yeah. No.
Let's go Sunnin' and Way Back Home.
Okay.
Because, you know, the pigs are the snootiest and the owls are indeed
the hootiest. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's a really fun song.
That's fucking
I like
damn.
To really like
okay.
campy songs. All those are I mean yeah. Butcher Pete is honorable mention. I like Butcher Pete a lot. But like
oh, Butcher Pete's number one for me just because every character I made after like my first three playthroughs of any Fallout game, I would make my character look like Denzel Washington from the Book of Eli and then name him Butcher Pete.
That's good.
That was I did it with every game except for 4 because voice protagonists, and I didn't look like it didn't the voice that the character that your character has is the voice of a Irish white man, and it didn't to me it didn't look right that yeah. it was coming out of a strong black man. It just didn't fit, so I just said I'm just gonna keep I pretty much kept him I got rid of his hair and I gave him a beard and I kept his character I kept the character pretty much the same. No fucking Bongo Bongo Bongo, I can't believe I didn't think of
that song is so fun.
Did I ever tell you the Sunnin' story?
What about the Sunnin' story?
I went over a bonfire in high school. I must have been like, no, maybe not even high school. I might have been in like 8th grade, right?
Wow.
Yeah, this is a time ago. Maybe even 7th grade. I don't remember. But friend of the show, I went to Steven's house.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Somehow we got on the topic of Fallout. And I was like, oh, wait, you guys play Fallout 2? And they're like, yeah. I don't remember how it came up, but someone just went, let's go, Sunnin'. And we all fucking started dancing. And just singing. It was such a fucking time. And I remember, like, being fucking 12, 13, however old you are in, like, 7th, 8th grade.
Yeah.
And, like, singing this song that was already fucking...
like, generations 50,
60
old.
Years
yeah.
old. And Steven's brother coming out and looking at us and being like, you're a bunch of fucking losers.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it was just... it's just such a fucking crazy thing to look back on.
Yeah, that's fun. That's really fun.
Yeah, and that's like someone that I went to school with sent me a video that we made when I was in I think I was in eighth grade when we made the video. It's on YouTube somewhere. And he's like, hey, this came out 7 years ago.
Wow.
And I was like, what the fuck, 7 years ago? That's a third of my life.
Yeah, if you think
just
about it.
Just a third
it,
of
yeah.
my life has passed me by since I made a fucking YouTube video.
That's crazy.
Isn't
to
that
think
nuts?
About. Yeah, that's kind of
yeah.
nuts. Holy crap.
Yeah. Like, what were you doing 7 years ago?
I was probably going through some edgy music. What about, do you have any songs that you like that are kind of a similar style that aren't in Fallout games that you would like to see? Like, say, in a Fallout 76?
I would like to see, like, I know I would never see it. Like, if they put it in there, it'll probably make 76 one of my favorite Fallout games. And I don't think they can make it work, but I'd love to see music by The Temptations.
Ooh.
Just yeah. because I like that, like, Motown soul era. Like, even some early James Brown. I doubt that they'd put it in there, but
that
I'd
would
love
be great.
To see that.
That would
yeah.
be great.
Just to, like, especially if we're going to be playing, 76 for 15 years, I would love to see just a little difference of music.
Yeah.
Like, not just this big band or, like, these one person type.
Like,
things I'd
kind
like
of like
to
a,
see.
What? Yeah, like groups. You'd like to see groups instead of just like one-on-one or like singles.
Yeah, well, yeah. But I'd like to see just a variation of music because it's a lot of just kind of the same thing.
Yeah, it's a little bit one note. But
like here, let me look it up right now. Yeah, all right. You happy with yourself?
A song that I would like to see in I really liked in New Vegas how we kind of had that like Sinatra-y vibe. I really liked
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Come Fly With Me and Come Dance With Me are two songs that I really like by Sinatra, and I really want to see those in a Fallout game.
Yeah.
I think that's a little bit more West Coast-y, though.
Well, what is the time split?
The time split is debated, but I think right now
because I was
canon,
going off of
it is 61.
Okay, So if it's 61, what the fucking Country Roads being the song of 76, what year did that come out?
I think 63. So that could change the game a little bit.
Wow, that came out in 1971.
Holy crap, really?
But he's not singing it in the trailer. And for, I forget what I was watching. I think I was watching, no, it was on Twitter. I think Pete Hines may have said that they got somebody to do, to cover the song. But the guy they got to cover the song said that they did it and kind of put a Ink Spots twist on it.
Yeah, like the beginning is still dun 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 dun, like a regular Ink Spots would.
Yeah, so the Temptations started in the 60s.
So that's totally possible then.
Yeah. And I'm not saying, like, I'm not saying that, like, I want fucking shit from the 80s on it, because it wouldn't make sense.
Take but, on me in a Fallout game.
Oh, God. I don't like the 80s music. I don't like a lot of 80s music.
I do. I like a lot of 80s music.
No, I know, and that's fine. I'm just saying that, like, the 60s and the 70s, I'm totally here for.
See, I think 70s music is, like, too groovy for Fallout.
No, yeah, but I'm saying more of, like, this like, shit like the Temptations. Yeah. Shit like... When did Superfly come out? Hold on a second.
That's...
Have you ever seen Superfly?
I've heard about it. You've told me about it.
Ooh, 72. That fucking... The soundtrack to Superfly? The soundtrack to fucking Superfly is by Curtis Mayfield. It's insane. It's so fucking good. It's like... Now, I remember being a kid and getting like... The soundtrack to fucking Shrek or some dumb shit, yeah. Right? And like, I was like, oh, okay. It exists. Like, Smash Mouth is 4 songs on here. You want to hear a good fucking just absolute banger of a just a heat rock of a fucking soundtrack? Superfly. Oh my God.
I'll have to check it out.
It's like you don't even have to see the movie. Like, don't even see the movie. Like, if you don't want to see it, don't see it, whatever. The soundtrack is insane. It's insane. But like, that came out in 72, and if Country Roads came out in 71, fucking Curtis Mayfield was making music well before what do you call it, we can get, I think we can get some funky shit in.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like, and it's not gotta be, it doesn't have to be like, it doesn't have to be like fucking like fat bass riffs and shit. It could just be like
the more mellow stuff,
some of their earlier stuff, because I doubt that it, like, that's what I always want to know. You see the beginning, like, all culture stops in the 40s, right?
Ish, yeah. 40s and 50s.
40s, 50s, right. But, like, in the beginning of Fallout 4, you see a lesbian interracial couple holding each other, right?
Yeah.
I want to know what the fuck happened with, like, the civil rights movement.
Yeah, and I would love to explore that part of, like, the Fallout history. I think it'd be a really interesting opportunity for Bethesda to make a statement about that kind of stuff. And, like, see how, like, they would interpret a world where other things took priority.
Yeah. Because, like, you don't ever see anything like, oh, racism happened back then. Like, I don't recall ever seeing anything that had anything to do with racism. The only racism I ever remember really seeing in the Fallout universe is with ghouls.
Yeah, like, people, like, put aside differences of skin tone to, like, hate on the half-dead.
You put aside the difference of skin tone to hate on people with no skin.
Yeah, you know what? You've got me there.
So, like, the women's suffrage movement, like, did that just not happen? Was no one just burning bras? Because, like, I feel like a lot of the music has a lot to do with that era.
Yeah, a lot of music of that time is very, like, freedom, liberation, like, this is about us.
Yeah, so, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
I'm curious. I want to know what happened within those eras. I want to know what happened. I just think, like, and I totally get if they never show us, because it would make sense for them to not show us, because a ton of world building that they just don't have to do.
But how?
But
nice
at the same time,
be?
Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Can I propose something?
No.
Cool, we're going to do it anyway. Fallout Disco.
No. I mean, I don't want to shoot you down. I don't want to be an asshole.
I mean, what's more dead than disco? There's just, like, a ghoul disco bar.
Like Disco Stew from The Simpsons, but fucking a ghoul.
Yeah. What about the Supremes? I think that'd be awesome to include.
Fucking a little Diana Ross. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Diana Ross got started in 1959.
Yeah, I'm on the same wiki
like,
page.
Oh, okay, don't make me fucking feel like an asshole. But, like, even that early, like, okay, so the Supremes were from 1959 to 1970. Put two songs in there.
Yeah. Especially, like, did you ever see the popular ones? Or one of them, yeah, that they did with the Temptations.
Fucking, like, all I want is, even if they put My Girl, like, the most known Temptation song.
Oh, I want
Just My Imagination. I would love Just My Imagination by the Temptations to be in the game. Like, I want to hear two fucking songs. But, like, just some Diana Ross would be fucking great.
Yeah, it would be really
just that just early, great. Early shit. Just because I want to see something a little different. Like, don't get me wrong. I love the music they put in there. It's such a staple of the game. Like, if they were to put a game out there and I couldn't listen to music and walk around like I did the way I do now, I'd be remiss. But, like, at the same time, I want to, like, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying.
You know, that I think we've definitely touched on this in the past, but I do think it goes with saying, because we're talking about music, I would love for there to be a radio station in 76 where you get to pick the set list, like, in the order that you wish to hear it. That would be so cool. Like, even if you can't add your own songs, or, like, even if it's just songs that are, like, still that already exist in the franchise, like, saying, oh, I want to do, like, Butcher Pete, like, four times in a row with one copy of It's Not Unusual.
What year did that come out?
Tom Jones? Oh, I don't know.
Hold on, let's find out. Tom Jones. There's a bunch of fucking Tom Jones.
Yeah, it's a lot of Tom Jones.
Holy shit. Sports, politicians, other people. Singer. He's in Other People.
Tom Jones singer. Is in Other People?
For Welsh singer Tom Jones, other. What the fuck? What year did he start? 1963. Okay, we're so cutting.
We're in there. We're in
oh, wow.
Zone.
He has the same birthday as my sister.
Oh, that's cool.
He was born in Wales. He's Welsh. Good
I mean,
for him.
Yeah, that's not unusual.
No, it's not. How many times do you think people, like, go up to him and be like, hey, man, what's new, pussycat? Or do you think he just fucking...
And he just goes, whoa, 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 whoa.
Like, I can't imagine he's, like, into it. Like, he has to be like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Yeah, I could definitely get tired of that quickly.
Yeah, I'd be like, all right.
I get it. I mean, one radio
1965
hit.
Is when... Or wait, no, that's a movie. Forget it. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
It's like, I get it. I make one radio hit.
Wow, he put three albums out in a year.
Yeah.
God damn. His first album was called Along Came Jones. His second album was It's Not Unusual. And his third album was... Are you fucking kidding me? And his third album was What's New Pussycat, right? That's all 1965. I'm going to let you know right now, Tom Jones is in 76. You want to know why?
Why?
Take a guess why.
Is he from West Virginia? No, he's from
his fourth
Wales.
Album that he put out is Atomic Jones.
Oh my god.
And it's spelled
Atomic
A,
Jones.
It's spelled A slash, or not slash, what's that? A hyphen. A hyphen T O M hyphen I C Jones.
Like Tom.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, he's gonna be in the. I'm gonna say it right now. I'm actually gonna tweet at Pete Hines right now. I'm gonna say at Pete Hines. Hold
Atomic
on,
Jones,
together.
The entire album has to be in the game.
Hold on.
Right? Are you going to tweet this from...
I'm doing it live. Fuck it, we're doing it live. At Pete Hines. Or should I do it from...
I was going to say, are you going to do it from... or are you going to do it from at Atomic Radio Hour?
Should I do it from Atomic Radio?
Sure. Maybe Pete Hines will listen to our podcast. Hey, Pete Hines, come on the podcast.
I open up my Twitter, and the first thing I see retweeted by Dolan, who I spoke about in our first episode. Shout out to Dolan, come on the podcast. Someone put, like... They took all the spaces up, and it says, guys, Fallout 76 is only 3 months away.
That's a good reminder.
Yeah. There's a page. I forget who's doing it on Twitter, but it's a countdown, and they're using the vault as a countdown. So the other day, it was like 87 days, and they had a whole thing about
That's
Vault
neat.
87.
I like that.
I wish I knew who it was. I'd yeah. shout them out.
If we figure it out, we'll talk about them next time.
So, all right. We're going to write this one together. Audience at home, tweet us at Atomic Radio Hour for what you think we should say.
Well, we're going to say it before you say it.
Declan, why you gotta fucking ruin the magic?
Sorry.
All right, at Pete Hines. At DC Deacon.
Yeah, at DC
right?
Deacon.
How should I address this? Hey, Papa Pete?
Or
hey, Daddy Hines?
Why not both?
Daddy Hines. Daddy Pete Hines? Because I think Daddy Papa Pete Hines is a mouthful.
Yeah, maybe.
What are you thinking?
Hey, Pete. That's a good one.
Hey, Pete. Yeah. Just to let you know.
We did some digging.
I'm gonna say, just to let you know. What's New Pussycat? What's New Pussycat by Tom Jones came out in fucking 1965. He's gonna read this and go, and like, I should just tweet him, hey Pete, just to let you know, What's New Pussycat by Tom Jones came out in 1965, and that's it.
So we're not gonna talk like about that. Tom Jones at all?
No. I will, but I'm saying we're opening just a dialogue as with a the pop. No, I know, but I'm saying how funny with it. Like, imagine if you went on your Twitter one day and it was just like, by all known accounts of science, bees shouldn't be able to fly because they have tiny wings and big bodies.
I mean, I would be pretty blown away, especially if I was mentioned.
Like, imagine if someone just, like, I just think it'd be funny. All right, so, hey Pete, just to let you know, What's New Pussycat by Tom Jones came out in 1965. In 1966... Oh, let me put a period. Let me make it seem like I know what I'm doing. This is from Atomic Radio, yeah,
sure.
Right? Sure. In 1966, I feel like I should put Thomas Jones just to be like somewhat.
Watch famous, your character count, right? Though.
No, I know. That's what I'm like. Tom Jones put out fourth TH album. Entitled?
Yeah, Entitled.
A. This is the greatest fucking name I've ever seen. Tom. Oh my god. I see. Jesus Christ. Atomic Jones. That's actually, like, a really cool name, too.
Yeah, that is a pretty clever name.
Like, Atomic Jones? Like, I wonder if they ever thought about making a DJ that name. Fuck it. If we have control of our own radio stations, the DJ for Ron Goolman Radio is Atomic
cool,
Jones.
Cool.
Atomic Jones. And his fourth album, Atomic Jones, came out 1966. Okay, should I put, if you put any of the music in, I just want my 2%.
No, I wouldn't say that. Let's give him this one as a win. We have our foot in the door. Then we get something, we bring in the big guns and we charge for that. This is the appetizer.
Okay, how should I end this tweet then? Because I don't want to just say
just letting you know. Like it's a courtesy.
Just letting you. Should I send him emojis?
No, maybe not. I don't think about him. I don't think so. Okay, let's keep this professional. Strictly professional.
Okay. All right. Hear me out then. You ready? The tweet we're going to send him is at DC Deacon. Hey, Pete. Just to let you know, What's New Pussycat by Tom Jones came out in 1965. In 1966, Tom Jones put out his fourth album titled A. Tom Ick Jones. Just letting you know.
That sounds incredible.
Do you want to add anything to it?
Hold on.
Do we add an exclamation?
What's our character count?
We still got like a third left.
Wow, okay. That's a lot of breathing room.
But exactly, I don't want to leave too much on the line.
No, I feel like leaving... We don't want to overwhelm him. If he wakes up to this tweet, we'd want to make sure
he's
that
he's... got a family.
Yeah, he might only have enough time from standing in the Starbucks line to be able to... read this tweet.
So, okay, but here's the most important part of the tweet. Do we end it with an exclamation mark or a period?
What are we trying to convey?
Like, just letting you know, or just letting you know, like...
I feel like if we convey our excitement, it might entice him to further research.
You think so?
Yeah.
I was thinking the opposite.
Really?
I was thinking be like, just letting you know, like...
Yeah, just letting
like I'm coming at him like, do it! Like I don't want him to become overwhelmed. I don't want to give off like
a... You know what? I didn't consider some people's tolerance for becoming overwhelmed.
You know what I mean?
He has a lot of stuff to do. He works at Bethesda. He's a busy guy. He's doing like Fallout 76 with him and like two other guys. Like I get it. He's stressed out. So yeah, let's end it on a period.
All right, I'm going to hit send.
Okay.
With a period.
Good.
Is your heart racing? Cuz mine sure as fuck is.
You know it.
Click.
So
cool.
Beyond math in the fourth grade, would you like to open up the book on Moira Brown's Wasteland Survival Guide?
In just a second, I have to recommend something for everybody.
Sure.
Before we get off music, there's a song that I found recently. I actually found it because of a fucking Instagram meme.
Oh, this song is incredible.
This is one of the greatest songs I've ever heard in my life. I listen to it like 40 times a day.
Can we put in a 10-second clip and not get a copyright strike?
I don't know, but I'm willing to fucking risk it for the biscuit.
All right, we're going to put it in right here. I guess you wonder where I've been.
I searched to find the love within. Oh my god, are you fucking kidding me? They don't make music like that anymore.
It's so fucking good.
The only thing is that it's from 1978.
That definitely does not have a chance on getting in.
But
but it has a good vibe.
And we've played the song, but the people don't know what the name of the song is yet. It's Bobby Caldwell's What You Won't Do For Love.
Like, oh my god. Oh my
Go
god.
On YouTube and look up this bad motherfucker and play it at 0.75 speed. Play it at fucking 30 or 75% speed. It's even a fucking bigger yam. It's, oh my
it's
god.
It's like more cathartic.
It's, oh, fucking, like, okay.
Play this at your kid's wedding.
No.
Play it at your wedding.
Maybe. If I'm, like, I don't dance. You know me. I don't dance. But if this song
but
comes on.
You groove, though.
I groove, but if this song comes on, and there are women that are ovulating within, like, a 600-foot distance of me, I don't even need to have sex with them. They're just going to become pregnant because of the fucking power of this song.
The song is incredible.
This song, this is the definition of baby making music. Oh my god. And it's by a white dude.
Yeah, honestly, we were floored to figure that out.
I heard this and I went, this guy, this strong, independent black man has seen some shit. And then I was like reading YouTube comments and someone put, the most soulful white man you'll ever hear. And I went, excuse me? And I had to like look up pictures. This fucking song. Wasteland Survival Guide.
Yes. So we're going to crack open that Wasteland Survival Guide. It is, of course, sponsored by Craterside Supply. You want to talk about surviving in a new place?
Sure. Why don't you kick it off?
I'll kick it off. Yeah. So if you need to survive in a new place, because of course, in the apocalypse, you don't stay in one place for too long because resources get exhausted. So you're going to want to generally find the closest water supply and make sure that you you keep that in your sights at all times, because you're going to be thirsty. Another thing that you're going to want to keep in mind is the high ground, because there you'll be able to have a good survey of land to be able to find points of interest. And this applies both in real life and in actual Fallout. Especially with 76 being so mountainous, having a high ground to be able to see the different attractions is going to be major key. Do you have any tips, sir?
I would have to say, kind of going how you said about water, I've said in a past Wasteland Survival Guide that water is pretty much a form of currency.
It's liquid gold.
The same could be said about weapon or ammo.
Yes.
Ammo costs, unless you're playing hardcore, costs nothing to carry. And I don't think I've said this on a previous episode. So even if you don't use, say, let's just say a shotgun, right? Which I don't understand why you wouldn't. But if you're not using a shotgun, all of those shells are worth caps.
Yeah.
So
we might have mentioned this with the 38 ammo because of pipe pistols.
We did. Fuck. Okay.
A decent strategy to live by, especially when dealing with those wasteland shops, is to whenever you go shopping, sell a little bit more than you buy each time, so you always make out with a net plus on your caps.
That's solid.
Yeah, I always do that.
That's solid advice.
I always try to sell more than I buy, even if it's by just one cap. Because then I'm not losing, I'm still gaining.
Yeah. That's normally what I do. Maybe not with the caps, I'll just kind of come out even because I don't feel like I lost anything.
Yeah, it seems like an even
exchange. Let me ask you this. Was there ever a Fallout game where you didn't carry money around with you?
At all?
Yeah. Well, not like at all, but like I remember in Fallout 3, I had so much caps that I would leave most of it at my house and only carry like 2,000
caps
with me at a
time. No, I always have all my money on me at once because there's no consequence to dying in all the Fallout games so far in terms of losing money. So I can just walk around and have like 40 billion caps, and if I die, it means nothing.
Okay. All right, I get it.
Respawn and buy some
shit. I don't know.
Shit.
It was something about it. Yeah, something about it to me was like, put the money away.
I mean, you're financially minded in general. So that makes a lot of sense to me.
I don't know. It was not something that I ever like put thought into. It was just something that like I was like, oh, I'm here now.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. Like having your own personal bank. That's a decent tip for anyone in any circumstance. If you have something you care about, leave it at home. Like, don't if you have priceless shoes, don't wear them out in the rain. Like the same thing applies with anything of like inherent value or even like sentimental value. Don't bring it into an environment in which it could be tarnished or destroyed.
Yes. I just thought it was weird that I was taking all of these caps and I was never buying anything.
I mean, were you self-sufficient in your looting to be able to just not need to buy things? Because I always try to buy things in Fallout games because I don't feel like finding it myself a lot of the times.
I would just kind of go into the fucking metro and kill ghouls that were feral, and then sell the shit that I found and sell like ammo I didn't need. So I don't know. I just always had. I don't know. It was just weird. Something I wanted to point out.
I'm sure other players have similar experiences.
Maybe.
Well, if you've got nothing else, I'd like to close the book on Moira Brown's Wasteland Survival Guide. It's closed, but Creator Size Supply is still open.
Cool. Yeah. From 8 to 8. Yeah.
For real? Are those the hours in game?
I don't know. I think so. No, she has like weird hours. I think it's like 9. Really? Yeah. I think she opens at 9 and closes at like something. I don't know. I just remember she was the last store to always open.
I didn't know that. Why don't we round on out to our outro and original content? So why don't we wind on down? We're approaching that hour. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the things we need to talk about before we give to you on a silver platter some really fine content. So
why don't you shout yourself out first?
I'm going to shout myself out. I like to do that. I am at Declan_Bean on the Twitter space. How about you?
I am at TheBuggins, all capital, the_Buggins on Twitter. But you could also follow the show on Twitter at
Atomic Radio Hour.
You could also follow us on Facebook at
Atomic Radio Hour.
And you could also follow us on our Instagram, which I promise you we're going to use, at
Atomic Radio Hour.
And Declan, why don't you hit us with who did our lovely intro music?
We're going to talk about a Mr. Shane Ivers. He did Feather Duster. It's our intro music. If you like it a lot and want to take it for not your podcast, but something else, you can get it at www.silvermansounds.com/free-music/Feather Duster. Anything else you have to say, sir?
No, I don't.
Oh, yes, we have the primed, ready, and you're going to hear that right about now.
Oh, God.
Are you okay?
I breathe and stop.
Are you okay? Listen, if it's the last night we have on Earth, let's make it fucking count.
What can we possibly do? We've been in this bunker for years. I've forgotten how to do things.
Haven't we all? We try to go out on something stupid like this?
Reduced to dungeon cave rats? It's rather depressing thinking where we came from.
Yeah. That's gone now, though.
Gone. But,
no one can bring those people back.
Burnt to ashes.
Let's make it a good one, then.
To the last night.
To the last night.
So if you guys at home have any ideas for the show, or if you have any ideas for any types of programming that we're going to show at the end, be it a holotape or a show like Nuclear Family, or just anything in general, make sure you tweet us at
Atomic Radio Hour.
And we'll be talking to you guys in about a week. So everybody be safe.
Before we go, and before I say my goodbyes, I'd like to tease that we've got a big project coming up that we're very excited to share. It's going to be coming up in the next couple weeks, so keep your ears peeled.
Cool. I don't even know what's going on. All right, everybody.
Catch you next week.
See you, bye.